You have entered the Arcade Cafe. Today in the cafe, I'm drinking a beer again.
It looks like a, amberish color, so it's not a Miller Lite this time.
No, it's a thick boy.
Is it a Aslan poop beer? Poop flavored beer.
Spot on. It's an Aslan Power Surge. I think it's technically an IPA, but it's like strawberry, and it looks like it's a smoothie base. It's really good. It doesn't taste like an IPA at all. I don't know. It's more like a sour to me. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's an IPA. It's okay. It's not one of the better ones that I've had, but what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out why my light is so dark. Ew, it looks like the eclipse. I don't get it. Now I'm brighter.
Well,
but it's going to dim again.
Well, anyway, beginning this episode, I'd like to introduce myself as your host. I am Bryce Yoli, and I'm here with my pal and cousin-in-law and more eloquent co-host, Mr. Caleb James.
You're upsetting Jinxie's cat.
What?
You're upsetting Jinxie's cat.
Oh.
De Niro from Pockers.
Yeah, I get it. Here in the Arcade Cafe lies a suppository-sized answer to those full-length episodes of the main feature of Arcade Bookshop.
There they go. Up your butt.
I literally couldn't think of anything else small today.
Up your bum.
Nothing related to games, nothing related to books, just something small you can fit up your anus.
Up in your bum.
At about 30 minutes in length, we bring you our current thoughts on our video game progress, our book progress, a little bit of video game news that is probably already a little bit old, occasional state of the podcast info, our wants, our needs, our private thoughts, our deepest, darkest secrets, and of course, the sweet nothings that Caleb whispers in the bedroom.
While you put your suppository up in your bum hole.
Oh, yeah.
Dry.
So, who thought the world was going to end on Monday? Raise your hand, because of the eclipse.
You thought it was going to end?
I did.
Why? Are you one of them fucking special, special people?
I just, the guy I work with that I talk about all the time.
It didn't even get that dark.
It's funny. No, I know. It's funny if he listens to this, though. I don't think he does. But he talks about conspiracy theory stuff all the time, and he got me kind of into it. And I also listen to Ninjas or Butterflies, and they talk about conspiracy theory stuff all the time. And between him and that, my TikTok algorithm has a bunch of that kind of stuff in it. And I rarely go through my TikTok, but the last week I went through it a lot, and I saw all these scary videos. There was an abundance of people who truly thought this was like, it was like the end of the world, or they probably still think it was a sign of end times, which it could be, who knows, but
I mean, it only happened, 2017 was the last time this happened? Not that long ago, Bryce.
Yeah, but we got totality across our country, which rarely happens. That's the
other places get it.
But it's easy to apply ominous events to biblical prophecy and bullcrap like that. But it was weird, though. There were a lot of things that came up with this eclipse that, like, at the same time, like, supposedly we were supposed to get all those, or that two different breeds of cicadas coming up at the same time, which seemed also end of the worldy.
I'm still waiting on that.
I know that didn't happen. I don't know what the heck. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the eclipse. I just wanted to mention it because it was on my mind this week. So if you were also terrified for the end of the world, leave a comment. Let's engage. I'm giving a thumbs up for those of you who very likely aren't watching this.
And I'm saying you're stupid if you thought the world was going to end. There's a lot of reasons the world could end, and an eclipse is not one of them.
True that. Let's talk some gaming stuff.
Video games. Do you play them?
I am officially done with the DLC for Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay.
So I won't have to talk about that for a pretty long time. I doubt that I'll be buying Rebirth or playing that in a pretty good while. So I mean, I'm glad I'm done. It was okay. It was good. It was okay. I do want to talk about it for an episode, but moving on, just want to mention that. And I started playing The Last of Us for the first time ever. I've gotten a lot of recommendations for that recently, and maybe we're gonna see how that goes, how that plays out.
Good luck.
You play anything lately?
I was gonna start The Messenger over the weekend, but I did not. So no. I'm really thinking about just getting Fear and Hunger 2 and just playing that.
Do you want to do an episode on The Messenger?
Eventually.
Okay, I have it downloaded. Pretty fun. So.
Yeah. I would also like to do an episode on Fear and Hunger if somebody fucking play it, you know.
I'm going to. It's like on my to-do list. It'll probably come after The Last of Us. Yeah. So, yeah. My next thing is something. I had a friend listen to our Pokemon Emerald episode.
Oh, why did you do that to him?
I didn't make him. He chose to. For his, it was the first episode he listened to.
That's of unfortunate. Our show.
I know.
That's the only bad one we ever had, I think.
He enjoyed it. However, he pointed out something that I completely forgot about from back in the day. Man, whenever I wear this hat backwards, it gives me a headache.
Wear it frontwards.
I just wanted to look different. I feel like it always takes away my face.
Do you want to show the people your face?
I'm indifferent.
Let me rephrase that. Do you think that people want to see your face?
Probably not. I just, you know, I don't. I noticed in my videos I tend to end up slouching, and then I just kind of.
Yeah. So here's what you do. You get like a luchador mask. Wear that every episode.
A luchador mask?
Yeah, Mexican wrestling mask. Or if you want, you can wear one of the Japanese dragon masks. Those are cool too.
Yeah.
As long as it's wrestling related.
Right. But anyway, my. My friend was listening to this, and he remembered something from back in the day that I completely forgot about. there was a point, which we kind of talked about this era for like me and Riley in high school, where we all started playing the third generation of Pokemon games all together, and we were trading back and forth between all the games and all that shit. Well, I forgot that I wanted to have all of the cartridges for that generation. And I didn't have Emerald, and I think, and it's like one of those third versions of the generation, you know, like how there's red and blue, and then they made yellow, and then there's gold and silver, and then they made crystal. So, you know, it's like that third special one that everyone is out to get. So like it was a little bit harder to get already by that time. So I went on eBay to look for a copy of it, and I found one. It was like, I don't know, like $20 or something, maybe even cheaper than that. So I ordered it, and I got it, and it was like all Japanese and shit. And so I don't remember exactly what happened, but when I tried to play it, it either didn't play at all or it was all in Japanese. And I think it was like a fake game. Like it might have turned on and done stuff, but it was like not really actually the game.
Sucks.
But he direct mess. Oh my god, I sound like I'm 80. Direct messaged me. He DM'd me. He DM'd me, and he was like, "I can't believe you didn't talk about this crucial part of your experience when we play them. We were all playing those games." How you like totally made a fool of yourself buying some trash on eBay. So I wanted to bring that up for Greg, if you're listening, Greg. Listen, Greg.
Whoa, God. Calm down. It's not that serious.
It's my friends to listen to the podcast, and I appreciate every single time they do. Caleb, stop yawning.
Why?
You're too sleepy when we're recording.
I have a day job. We got to work.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, but yours isn't difficult.
Fuck off.
You sit in an office and play chess. Like, it's not
brain power. No. Brain power. It's complicated.
Yeah, sure.
Stressful.
Okay.
All right. So I want to talk about Sandland a little more. We talked about it last time, but I didn't really look into it yet. But I heard some other people talking about it on podcasts this week, and I looked into it a little more today, and I have some feelings, good and bad. Did you happen to mention that to Spencer at all, since it's Akira Toriyama?
No, in fact, until you just mentioned it, I completely forgot it existed. And when you said the name, I don't even remember what it was until you said Akira Toriyama. Forgot. My mind is just took it out. Like most of the things, I hit the overflow stage of life now where information that goes into my head just leaks out my ear when I'm sleeping and it just goes away.
Yeah. I'm getting there too. I have too much going on right now. But so Sandland is that game inspired by Akira Toriyama's manga series. Yeah. Sandland. And it comes out on, I think, everything on April 26th this month. And it looks pretty cool.
It does.
I don't know if you actually watched a video on it or anything, but I watched a video today and I think regardless, I want to play that shit. It looks fun. Yeah. And it's so, for being a Sandland, a game primarily like in a desert kind of setting,
still looks
very
cool.
Colorful.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's straight from Akira Toriyama's character design. Like it looks like what I wish Dragon Ball games were, you know, like
this open world.
Yeah. Stuff. I hate how, and again, I haven't played a lot of them, but I think most of them are kind of just fighting. Like you do fly around the world, but usually you fly around the world, land somewhere and fight. Yeah. Right. Which is kind of boring to me. And
it would be cool to have a Assassin's Creed style Dragon Ball game or something like that, or even like a Skyrim where it's just this, you know, you could do all kinds of cool shit.
I don't see any reason why they can't do that.
Money. It's cheaper just to make the fighting games and just break in the dead and make it.
Yeah, but imagine if they actually chose to elaborate and expand that. I mean, there's plenty of story there.
Yeah.
We could easily do that, make it like an actual RPG instead of just a fighting game. But anyway, that's basically what Sandland is. It does remind me of Borderlands in a way, but it's still more of like an action RPG than Borderlands is. I don't know what you call Borderlands, but anyway, I do want to play it. It looks really fun. There are some things that are kind of like typical action RPG things they do in it. It looks like, and again, like we haven't played it yet, but I have a feeling it's going to be not too different from what a lot of games do that are similar to this game. So like one thing that's getting really old to me is skill trees. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Like every action RPG or RPG is doing this, and they've been doing that since like, I don't know, for decades really. I mean, the idea probably started with the original Final Fantasy VII with Materia. That's not exactly the same, but it's similar. Mm-hmm. Materia, at least in that original game, is a little bit more complex. Mm-hmm. And like you have to actually think about how you want to balance things. But then like Final Fantasy X, say, you can do what, like you just continuously naturally earn all your, like, level up your skills and everything like that, and then you just eventually have what, like, everything. And especially Final Fantasy VII Remake, it's like you don't even have to think about it. There's a decent amount of materia, and there's also a skill tree for your weapons, but the weapons especially, they just naturally upgrade. You don't even have to really think about it. It's thoughtless. And it's cool in the way that you don't have to be overburdened by it, and you can focus on the story and playing the game. I do agree there, but it's just kind of boring that it's like a feature that it's meant to upgrade your characters, and there's some like first-hand involvement in like making decisions and everything like that. But ultimately, it's a passive action that you have to take just to continue on with the game. And I wish it was something more like, I don't know, challenging.
In Fear and Hunger, you have to collect souls and use those to get new skills. And there's also these special letter things you can get. It's a very specific, I won't spoil it, but you could basically pray to a god for things. And if you want, you could do that to just get a new skill as well. But usually people use that for the harder to get cooler things. But I like that style because you actually have to work for it. Like it's not just, oh, you leveled up. There's no leveling up in that game. So it's like, oh, you actually have to go out of your way to get these skills if you want them.
Yeah. I mean, they need to do more creative stuff like that. Because obviously, if you just sit down and think for a minute, I mean, that's an indie game. It's popular, but not all that popular because it's gruesome and disgusting.
It's very disgusting.
But, I mean, that little crew of people that made that game, I'm assuming it's little, but it was a creative idea. You know, just
think
you
have just these massive... Japanese kid.
Well, there you go.
Maybe so you have these massive... master thesis or something on it, made it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, there's a cool backstory for that game. You can play it.
I will. I'm going to. So, yeah, it's just, there's all these, just the full crew of people developing all these games. Like, just think of creative ways to make, like, if you're going to do a skill tree or something like that, think of a way that's unique to the story or to the characters or something, or the nature of the game that makes acquiring the skills and developing them both challenging and interesting. I don't know. I get really bored with the, oh, I have to elect to upgrade this skill and I fight battles and it upgrades by itself, or, you know, it levels up by itself. Then we move on to the next one. Then let me battle and that one upgrades. It's like,
That's like Sea of Stars. You do nothing to, you just, as the game progresses, you just get skills for
free. It's
like, here you go.
Yeah. And that one, it's still a problem to me, but that I let that slide because everything else is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love the look of the game in general. It just looks beautiful. I love the look of cel shaded games. I still want to play Borderlands. I played like the first third of the first one and I stopped playing, but I would still like to play those. I don't know if I ever will, but it would be fun at some point if I could. But it's also awesome for us. So I might like to play that because it's an adaptation of a manga, and that's an easy thing for us to talk about if it's, you know, as long as it has some depth. And I think it does, because the main character is like, he's Beelzebub, so he's like, he's a demon, and he's part of a culture of other demons, I believe. And I don't know a lot about it, but I know that much. So I'm sure there's something interesting there. There's usually, I mean, even Dragon Ball isn't all that superficial. It is, but it isn't. It's just hard to, it's hard to imagine like how to make modern day games interesting, I think. Like, how do you make every single game different?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, it's just like anything else. It's just everything you do is going to be derivative of something else, mm-hmm. and you can't keep making fresh new things.
Yeah. And it gets a little frustrating because it's like, these games are awesome, but it's like, I played this before. So where do you... Someone has to take the responsibility of starting to change things, do different stuff. And it's wild to think that, because these like games are so much different already than what they used to be. But anyway, I just wanted to bring it up and actually talk about it a little more, because it does look really cool. And that might, I mean, I don't know, it might be something, I'm sure Spencer won't play it, but it might be something he'd want to talk about.
Yeah, he might actually be interested.
So, moving on, there isn't actually any really great gaming news from this last week. I couldn't find anything anyway. But
Fallout TV shows out as the airing of this episode.
That's all I had to say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty good.
If they Fallout,
I read one review and it talked pretty highly of it. Do you not like Fallout?
I never played it, but Walton Goggins is in the show, so I'm down for that. I like him.
I like Kyle MacLachlan.
Mm-hmm.
No, it looks really cool, though. It looks very much like Fallout.
I actually thought about going back and playing some of the original Fallouts, because I did not know it went back into the 90s. Like, I didn't know it was that old of a series. I thought it was like a newer series.
You probably like... I didn't play the first two, but you probably like those. I played 3 and New Vegas. I didn't beat New Vegas, but they're incredible. I do want to play the first two, but I'm
pretty sure they're actually vastly different, because I think they were made by a different company or something.
Yeah, they were. I think I could be wrong, but I think the first two are more along the lines of like the top down like Diablo style, but they still look awesome. So
they'd be fun.
Yeah. So that show's out now, and if you, I think it's out on Prime, right?
Yeah.
So if you have Prime, check that out. Let us know what you think about it. Maybe we can talk about it. Maybe we can read some. If you could leave a comment, maybe we can read some listener comments
on
the next episode of Arcade Cafe.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Tell us why we suck and what we could do to be better, or why you want us to stop doing this. And we can,
yeah.
I like reading the hate mail more than the praiseworthy mail.
Yeah, hate mail's fun. A couple of new assholes.
So we can stick more suppositories up.
That's all I really want to do.
I bet.
So let's talk reading and writing.
Books.
I finally finished Play Your Piano by Kurt Vonnegut. So I started reading Vagabond. The manga.
Vagibond.
I don't know how to say the author's name, so I'm just going to leave it at that. But gotta say, and I already told you, but I don't usually
read backwards.
I usually don't read manga, and it you read it from right to left, and I don't know what to do with my hands. It's so weird. It's like,
where do I put my hands?
It's like, it's like, not only is it like I'm using the different hand to turn the page, but the book is kind of like a awkward size, so it wants to close, so it's like I'm just constantly shifting it around, and it just feels so unnatural holding it and turning and reading the wrong direction.
Do they drive on the other side of the road in Iceland?
No.
Well, lucky you.
Now, if they did that, I probably wouldn't even try to rent a car.
Mm.
Yeah. Fortunately, but the roundabout situation is a fucking nightmare. Did I show you that?
You did not know.
Oh, man, I got to send you that video. So, for anybody listening who gives a shit, there's a lot of roundabouts in Iceland. And, you know, roundabouts, whatever. I don't have a problem with them. But in Iceland, there's like 2-lane roundabouts. And the driving rules are different. So the really awkward rule is that whoever is on the inside lane has the right of way to exit.
That's weird.
Right. So like if you're on the outside and going around, if you're coming towards an exit, you have to see if the person next to you is wanting to turn out and then stop.
It's fucking dumb.
Let them go and then you can keep going. Yeah, it's really awkward. So I'm a little bit terrified about about that. But hopefully it goes okay. The thing is, I had this woman at work, her daughter traveled to Iceland, and she mentioned how there's a lot of roundabouts. I was like, oh, whatever. That sounds easy, actually. And then I looked it up a little bit, and I found the actual rules around the roundabouts, and I watched this video, and I was like, oh my god, this looks like a fucking, this is chaos. So I'm sure it'll be fine, but for the
most
part,
is Iceland one of those countries where all the cars are standard? Like, if you rent a car, it's a manual?
A lot of them, yeah. I didn't get an automatic because I don't know how to drive standard.
That wouldn't be fun.
No.
That's what I thought about. Like, I go to Ireland, I drive a manual, and then it's also on the wrong side. Like, so you'd be shifting with your left. I don't know. I would have problems.
I have not even been inside of a manual car, so that would be a nightmare.
You just wreck immediately. You just stall out and just blow up all of Iceland.
I wouldn't get back from the airport.
No.
What are you? You still reading the same thing?
Yeah, I'm almost done with the Steve Costigan stories, and then I'm moving on to, I don't know, maybe
play your piano.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
got to do that.
Stupid.
And then when I get back from my trip, I'm gonna finish playing Stray, and then we can record those episodes. Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah. All right. Do you have any other reading or writing news?
The anthology I'm in, Readings from Cursed Room 301 Kickstarter, has just gone live from Mad X Media. So if you folks want to check that out, if you give to the Kickstarter, I get more money.
Because
that's the money from that's going to pay the authors.
What are you getting initially?
They haven't decided yet. I think it was like five cents a word or something, but it just depends on what the Kickstarter brings in, and then also like what, like, is there gonna be an audiobook version or just what comes out of it. At the bare minimum, if nothing is done, like they made no money, which they already made a couple $100, but if they made no money and didn't hit the Kickstarter goals or anything, I would still get a physical copy of the book and $10 to $50. I don't know what, not sure, but nice. Something like that.
Well, cool. So everybody also, do that.
As the release of this episode, the Dark Home anthology I'm in, actually changed the name. I think it's Ethereal Nightmares, Tales of Twisted Terror or Twisted Horror or something along those lines. Twisted Tales. That cover reveal for that anthology will be out, I think, Friday. So, yeah, when this episode drops, it should be out. That's on Instagram at Dark Home Publishing, I believe it. I think that's the name. That one looks pretty cool. You can go to my Instagram. I've been sharing the updates for that as well, so I'll share the cover. I already seen it. It looks pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I've been sharing most of what Caleb posts, I think.
Oh, yeah, so you'll be on your stories on Arcade Bookshop.
I'm going to mention it again later here, but at @arcade_bookshop on Instagram. So everybody follow that. That's where I post everything.
What now?
I post more on Instagram than I do on TikTok now, and hopefully I will end up phasing out TikTok.
It's the shits, man.
Mm-hmm. So my last thing, we don't have to talk about it a long time, but it's kind of just driving me crazy. I know, I realize that I don't focus on my reading, but I still don't get what is there a trick for these people who can read a book a week?
Yes. Like, it's called reading very fast and not actually intaking a lot of the information.
It doesn't seem like that's true, though. Like, I know the lady who owns the used bookstore down the street from me. She's read like 25 books, if not more, since the beginning of this year. I can't fathom that. I follow this other guy. I think it's like Books Are Sick or something like that on Instagram. He reads about a book a week. And they're like all different size books. But he manages it. He has like 4 to 6 books that he wants to read every month. And he typically about gets through them, it seems. So, and they can talk about them. So it's not like they don't retain anything. I don't understand how people do this, because
I've only read 8 books this year.
I've probably read like 4.
A couple of those were graphic novels, though, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah, what did I read? Like, the Divine Comedy one. What's the second one? Purgatorio.
Purgatorio,
Player Piano, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That might be it.
I think a lot of people, though, when they read, one, when they're talking about these book goals, oftentimes they're not really difficult reads. And even the ones that do like the difficult reads, I find even if they are able to comprehend the information fairly well, they're not, there's like not a focus on the language used, or, you know, like when I read, when we did the Faulkner book, Sound and the Fury, like a lot of that discussion, I think, was just about like the language and the way it was written. I feel like a lot of these people aren't actually focusing on that at all. Like, they don't really care.
Maybe.
Or maybe they're just super smart and they're good at reading. I don't know.
It seems like people are actually, I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't even get how you can speed read like that. And when I've looked up how you read fast like that, it's usually the techniques are based around reading informational nonfiction books, which I get that, because most of the words in nonfiction don't need to be there.
No.
You know, that like nonfiction books can typically be bullet lists, and you get it. So like I get speed reading that. That's no big deal. It's like, how do you retain a whole novel and read it in 3 days?
Exactly. That's fucked up.
I don't get it. But I just wanted to bring that up. Driving me crazy. I wish I could read that fast and actually feel like I experienced the book
information
and retain the information and I could tell you about it. But I can't, especially with editing on these podcasts. And recording all these podcasts, playing these games. You all set?
Yeah, I got to make dinner.
All right.
Eat some
well,
food.
Everybody, no Arcade Cafe for the next 2 weeks unless Caleb and I figure out something funny to do while I'm in Iceland. Fake maybe we'll toadies. Do... Yeah. Maybe we'll do something like 5 or 10 minutes video chatting on my phone or something. I'll just upload something easy.
I'm sure that'll work out well in Iceland.
You never know. I'm going to get a SIM card so I can use my phone. It might work. Maybe I'll just find internet. We can do something easy. But as of right now, no Arcade Cafe for the next 2 weeks. But stay tuned to the Arcade Bookshop Instagram at @arcade_bookshop as I'm not positive what we're looking at for the next couple of weeks, at least for next week. There may or may not be a special feature episode coming out this coming Monday, depending how I can manage my time. For sure, though, Monday, April 22nd, you'll have another regular episode of Arcade Bookshop where we are complete goof assholes about Star Tropics for the NES. Just goofy ridiculousness. We're either laughing about dumb shit the whole time or whispering for some reason. We're either very loud or very quiet. It's preposterous. It's a very less serious episode. It's just fun. So that's April 22nd. Then after that, for sure, you'll have a companion episode on May 6th about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. That one's pretty fun. But also, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't have Arcade Cafe on May 3rd. So stay tuned Friday, May 3rd for the next episode of Arcade Cafe. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You've just spent some time in the Arcade Cafe.
Ew, don't do that.
And we hope you enjoyed yourself.
Ooh.
I'm Brace Yoli with my pal and cousin-in-law, Caleb James. And we'll see you next week. Bump, bump, battle, nun, dun.
It's a fart noise.